Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How you doing? It's my birthday as I record this. Right old rainy day, though. I'm desperate for some sunshine. But it does feel as though, you know, I've been saying it for weeks, haven't I? It feels like spring's coming, but we're officially in spring, they tell me. Anyways, we had a wonderful weekend at Champneys last weekend. It was super good. It was really great just to be able to focus on, just encourage people to focus on what it is they want. We were saying that it's something that we don't often ask ourselves. We're constantly worrying about what our families want, what our kids want, what our partners want, what our parents need, but we don't very often ask ourselves. We really don't. What is it that we really want and really need? It feels too egotistical to even ask, too selfish. But of course it's not. It's self-care, isn't it? We've got to be able to vision what it is we want. We've got to be able to imagine it before we can kind of take action and put it into place. But of course, all of that's gone, a little bit AWOL with everything that's been going on this week. And obviously we've got an awful lot of people, certainly within my community, who are really, really struggling. This is just, on top of the last couple of years, all of these things that are going on right now, it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. And people are feeling so much stress and anxiety. And it's terrible kind of anxiety, really, because it includes that feeling of feeling threatened and feeling anxious and fearful, but also guilt. There's this thing of guilt that we can't do more. We can't help, people who need help. We can feel the compassion, but we feel kind of impotent that we can't do anything to help. It's a terrible feeling. And guilt and shame are such low vibrations. And it's a really difficult one. And what's happening, I think, for a lot of people is that it's literally sending them into fight or flight or freeze mode, because there's just this sense of inertia. I can't do anything. People with young kids, I think, it's very difficult at the moment. How do you talk to children about war? How do you, make them know they're okay? It's a difficult one. What we did in the Sober Club this week, we had a kind of a session on Zoom, and we just did a little bit of work around remembering that mind-body connection, just how important it is to recognize that actually the fight, flight or freeze action is not going to help us. It's there for a reason. It's a safety mechanism, right? Because if there's a tiger coming, then you've got to be able to run. Or if there's, someone in the building, you've got to be able to freeze, whatever it is. But of course, that response, that physical response, is not at all helpful for a sustained period of time, and when there aren't actually any tigers. So, it's really important that we're able to ask ourselves, am I safe in this moment? Am I okay right now, despite everything that's going on? And if we can say that, then we can use our body to affect our mind and vice versa. Psychologists call it the cybernetic loop. One affects the other. So, really simple things like standing in a power pose, of course, it's always good fun. Do it with kids as well. And placing your hand on your heart. It's such a simple way of just slowing down your breathing and just taking you out of that fear and anxiety state. I also do EFT, emotional freedom technique, and we did a whole session on tapping. It's amazing how helpful it can be, actually. And one of the interesting things about EFT, when I work with clients with EFT, is, and certainly when I first got into it, I remember thinking, this is really weird because I'm voicing the negative. And every single thing I'd ever learned being a Hay House author was that we talk affirmations, we affirm in the positive. We don't state the negative. We don't voice it. But of course, I've come to realize that you have to voice it. And as I've said a few times recently, it was Louise Hay that said, you can't clean the house till you can see the dirt. So actually tapping is amazing because you just state what really is going on, how you're feeling. You voice that you're feeling anxious and scared or whatever it might be, or helpless or guilty. And you tap on these end of meridian points. And it's really powerful. If you want more help with that or more information, just drop me a message. I've got lots of stuff. And if you're a Sober Club member, we've got lots of sessions in there. But yeah, dropping into the body, doing a power pose, doing some tapping can really make a difference. Doing some shaking it all out, that's amazing, shaking it out. I wrote a whole blog post about that. Again, that comes from trauma release exercise, but you can literally just put some music on and shake or dance. Super good for you. And staying connected. I know I say it every time, but that power of connection really is everything. To be able to voice your thoughts, but also to be able to share with people who are going through something similar, also feeling, you know, these same levels of stress. It makes a really big difference if we can share it. And ultimately, we have to focus on our self-care. We have to raise our own vibration and boost our own well-being, because, you know, if we don't, we go under. And actually, there is a collective consciousness. And I do really believe that if we can all have our own light, as it were, then we can send that light out, and we can make more of a difference. You know, fear, as I said a couple of years ago, I wrote a blog post a couple of years ago at the start of lockdown, the first lockdown, about how we reduce anxiety and stress and focus on self-care. My God, I never thought I'd be needing to, you know, resend out that blog post. And yet everything in it, you know, feels apparent right now as well. I did a kind of like a self-care acronym there. Just go to soberclub.com. You can read it there. But, you know, I was talking then about this collective consciousness. Fear is contagious. There's no doubt about it. Fear and stress and anxiety, when you're feeling that way, it affects everybody around you. But actually, love is contagious too. And when we can, you know, focus on love and sending love and light. I know it all sounds ridiculously woo-woo and floaty. And I'm not saying don't take action as well. Of course, if there's things you can do to take action, whether that's donating to charities, whatever it might be for you that works to take action, of course do that as well. But don't miss out the energy piece, because it's actually super important. Anyway, on that note, that leads me very nicely to my next guest, because Karen Kenneby, I'll tell you all about her as I introduce the interview. But Karen Kenneby has been doing this kind of work for years, and she has now something called Elevate, as in the power of eight. We'll talk about that on the interview. And really, her whole raison d'etre is to encourage people to just really get to know who they really are and shine their light, find their purpose. And, you know, it's something we talk about a lot. So I thought that would work really nicely for this week's podcast. I just want to remind you, before we get into that, of a few dates. Family constellations, again, it fits really well with all of this, all of these limiting beliefs, all of these things that happen to us when we get stressed, and the thoughts that come in and the way we react. They all track back to limiting beliefs and old traumas, and it can be an amazing thing to do, to actually look at some of this stuff. So our Family Constellations Day is Sunday, 27th of March. It'd be great if you are able to come to that. It's in Hertfordshire. If you go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, you'll find it there. And then there's also, what else have we got coming up? We've got Sober by the Sea Day in Southend. In sunny Southend on the 7th of May, Saturday 7th of May. That's all about visioning what you want for your life. By the way, it doesn't matter what stage you're at. You can be sober curious, day one, 10 years sober, doesn't matter, because we focus on the what's next, on the optimum health and well-being. Keep hitting the microphone, sorry about that really annoying noise. And then April the 2nd, we've got another Champneys. This is at Tring this time, Tring in Hertfordshire, April 2nd for self-care and sobriety retreat. And there may be other things popped in the diary as well, the odd meetup here and there. I'm hoping to plan something In London towards the end of March. So there's a bunch of things. So make sure you stay connected. The connection is everything. Of course, I'd love you to join the Sober Club, but of course you don't have to. There's loads of other ways of doing this. But stay connected either way round. All of my events are open to everybody. So go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. And you know where to find me and where to find the Sober Club if you are interested. So let's hear the interview.
My guest is Karen Kennebee, who's been an entrepreneur for more than three decades after a fast-track hotel management career. Now, she's done all sorts of fascinating work, which I'm sure we'll get into. In 2004, early in her personal and spiritual journey, she discovered her life purpose as a sunbeam. It doesn't get better than that. Welcome, Karen.
How are you? I'm really well, Jenny. Thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. So we'll definitely dig into that. I want to know more about that that wonderful purpose. It sounds great. And I definitely want to talk more about your mission as well, because I know you're coming up to your 75th birthday. Incredible.
Oh,
you look amazing.
Still 9 years away, that is.
And then when that comes up, you want to have inspired 10,000 women to shine their light. Yes. Perfect. So So 9 years time, you'll be 75 and you've got this fantastic goal and challenge on the go. Amazing. Anyways, let's just go back in time a little bit then. Just tell us a little bit about your background. You've obviously done some fascinating stuff.
Yeah, I started off on a fast-track hotel management career and took myself very quickly up to deputy manager of a luxury four-star hotel and then went into hotel sales. But I always knew that I was going to have my own business. My dad was self-employed. I absolutely loved the fact that he was based from home. And there was that sort of sense of connection and freedom with him being there. So I knew I wanted to have my own business. So when I went back to work after my son was born, so I was 30, pretty much, give or take, I decided that was the time to start my business. And I created an event management company, which at the time, I mean, it's funny to think now because there are so many of them around, but at the time it was really unusual. And so people didn't know that there could be a sort of in-between person. Mm. Grew that quite fast. I got seven figures. I had a team of 24 at peak. And then after 21 years, I lost the lot. So, you know, real roller coaster stuff.
How come? What happened?
I went bankrupt. And, you know, looking back with that benefit of 2020 vision, I can see exactly why. I fell out of love with the business. I had no passion for it anymore. You know, it had become work. It had become heavy, you know what I mean, Janie? And so instead of it being light and me loving it and loving the clients, the whole way business was done had changed. You know, I very much built it on building relationships. And, you know, that's how I like to work. And, you know, we'd just sit down and have a coffee and they'd talk about the challenges they were having. And I'd say, would you like some help with that? And there, bingo, we'd got another contract. And then it changed to being purchasing departments and purchasing clerks, and it was always just the cheapest of three bids. Also, the people that we were liaising with within the organisations just weren't as nice to my staff. You know, they were felt very much as though they were on the ladder, you know, because they were trying to prove themselves. And so it just ceased to be enjoyable. And I didn't react quickly enough to some of the signs, and so I lost it all, and which was incredibly humbling, and I was extremely ashamed.
It's interesting, isn't it, that thing. I've spoken to somebody else who had a sort of similar experience and kind of lost everything, and the shame piece is a really interesting one, isn't it? Such a low vibration shame.
It is.
It's really interesting. So tell us about how you, I don't know if it was linked at all, but when did you then start to go within and find your kind of spiritual side?
It was around about that time. So really everything fell apart at the same time. I left my personal partner of 11 years. I had to sell the house. I was the primary breadwinner. So I started going within, and I went to a life coach for just one session, and she said, you need to go to Tony Robbins UPW, which I did, which, you know, is a long weekend. And I then went on to do Mastery University. And at the end of it, I felt completely empty, and it just hadn't landed. It was too cerebral, it's too head-based at the time. I know things have changed a lot, and so my heart was just aching and I was just really upset. And I started going to the S group, the sort of social support network around the Tony Robbins world. And one week this guy called Babu came and gave a talk. I hadn't got a clue what he was going on about. It was just all in riddles, but he had something about him. And spoke to him afterwards and found myself 10 days later on a 2-week seminar, retreat, workshop, whatever, with a guy called Tony Quinn. And it was completely transformational. And that's when, you know, I really got this message, you know, the universe wants you as a sunbeam.
What does that mean then? What do you mean by that?
It represented the fact that it's just all about just be and just shine your light. You know, in that just in inverted commas way. And you know, I was skipping around Capri, I felt so joyful and so released. And so it really felt as though, okay, it is all about shining my light. Mm. What I actually do doesn't so matter so much as who I be. Yeah. And that's when I first got it, that
yeah,
it's that.
I find it really interesting, you know, because I talk so much about purpose and finding your purpose. And you know, for years when I used to do a lot of work around kind of branding and how you sort of put your message out into the world in terms of PR and all of that stuff, then when I did other talks with people who didn't necessarily have a business, you could almost read someone's mind as they're kind of thinking, oh, that's not really me, you know, I don't really have a purpose, I don't really want to run a business, and I don't want to run a charity, I haven't particularly got a hobby. And you can sort of hear their despair, because they think that they're an empty slate, as it were. Yeah. And they think that a purpose must mean, to do, in inverted commas, something special, in inverted commas. And then I remember having this fabulous conversation with Kyle Gray, you know, the angel expert, who said, you know, perhaps your purpose is just to be happy.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, wow, just imagine the ripples that would come from that, right? If somebody really took that on board.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, you said this phrase about, you know, just to be.
Yes.
I mean, are we linking that to the, you know, be the change you want to see in the world, or just be who you are? And then, of course, that opens up all sorts of other questions, like, what if we don't really know who we are?
Exactly. And I think we do have to do the work, don't we? Yeah. I think all of us get to a point where you can't carry on with the way you're going on, because you're not getting anywhere in terms of really feeling that sense of fulfillment and joy and love and light, which are our birthright. And you know, we start off like that when we're babies, and then life takes over, doesn't it? You know, with, you know, parenting in whatever form, however loving, and school and work and peers. And all those layers build up and all that programming comes in. So we then have to do the work to strip it back.
Yeah.
Unless you've been incredibly fortunate.
Yeah.
You know, I was lucky. I had two loving, very loving parents. But even so, you know, there's a lot of work to do.
There's always some traumas and some limiting beliefs that need to be gotten rid of, aren't there? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What are your top tips then for people who know that they're kind of at the beginning of this journey? I mean, I work with quite a lot of people who are ditching the booze, and it's perhaps for the first time, particularly if they've been drinking since they're teenagers, they're not very emotionally mature, because all of the stuff we've done has been under the haze of booze or just numbing out. Whenever anything gets difficult, oh, I'll just reach for a glass of wine or whatever the fix is. And then once you ditch the booze and you're able to start freeing up a bit more time, actually starting to take notice of yourself and maybe even starting to like yourself a bit more, that's the big one. What are your tips then for people who are in that kind of slightly wobbly, fragile early state and they want to start to discover who they are, what their purpose is, how they can find their light before they can shine it?
Absolutely. And, I'm not sober, but I describe myself as a mindful drinker.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the year, I described it to myself as pruning. And, you know, for me, pruning and really cutting down on how much I was drinking was about allowing myself to grow. So, you know, the new growth can only come when you prune, can't it?
Yeah.
And so that for me was really, really powerful and impactful. And I think one of the things that we can do, I think we nearly always need someone else to help us, because we can't see the wood for the trees. And, you know, we just carry on trying to push through and then we get knocked back. I'm not talking about the drinking now, I'm talking about generally finding
purpose
and being happy. We get knocked back and then we think we're a failure. So then we get further down and we do this vicious cycle. It's like New Year's resolutions. You know, most people get knocked back and then they just think, well, they're a failure, so they can't do it.
Yeah.
And I think finding a peer group or someone that you really resonate with, you know, that could be a podcast, you know, like yours, starting to listen to that on a regular basis, or starting to listen to or read books. But starting to find a group that, you know, really resonates with you, I think is very important, because you can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. You need support. I do think that there comes a point at some stage where you do need a coach or a mentor to really get the breakthrough, whether that's in a group setting or whether that's one-to-one.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's easy to sort of start trying, again, another word to use in inverted quotes, but trying to bring in affirmations or do this or do that without fully understanding what their purpose is. And, you know, until we reclaim those broken parts of ourselves and we start to love them. And I think this is it. It isn't about just all being happy, clappy, positive the whole time. We need to do the deep work and we need to, I know it doesn't sound fun. And, you know, as you know, a lot of it isn't fun. But the rewards when we do go deep are that we then do get to that point where the light starts to shine and we can see the way forward and we fully appreciate who we are. I mean, I've got on my desk a Brené Brown quote, only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light. And I love that because I think so often we shy away from it and there's this feeling that, oh no, I mustn't go there because I've got to be positive. And I did a lot of that. You know, people used to say, you're the most positive person I know. And I was really positive. And then I had a nervous breakdown. And no one could believe it. In fact, I didn't tell anybody at the time because I had pneumonia. And I told people I had pneumonia. I kept the fact that I'd had a nervous breakdown very much to myself because, again, it came into
shame. Yeah, absolutely.
Shame. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, we can look as though we're coping fabulously well on the outside. Mm. And again, I think this is something that many, many of us do go through. I mean, certainly nobody would have known that I had any kind of issue, you know, when I was drinking, because there was nothing that anybody would be able to see. Everything was completely fine. I knew at 3 a.m. when I woke up hating myself. And many people do go through these phases where even if they do start the work, as it were, even if they do kind of set themselves some new challenges and new behaviors and things start to go well and they put that brave face on and that positive face, but underneath everything is kicking off. And as you say, it can get very confusing and people can kind of confuse all of these emotions and it ends up getting wrapped up as just self-hatred, really, and shame and all the rest of it. Yeah. It's, I mean, there is, you know, it's all quite complex stuff, isn't it? But ultimately it does all come back down to actually starting to like yourself.
It does. It's absolutely key, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I do think it's hard though, when you're not in that space, if you know what I mean. I do remember back, you know, when I was drinking and everything was seemingly okay on the surface, but I certainly couldn't sit in meditation, even though I was, you know, a Hay House author and interviewing every meditation guru there was. If you'd have asked me to do, you know, what my morning practice was, I said, don't be bloody ridiculous. It's grabbing a coffee and legging it, you know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think any of it applied to me. I felt separate from it, you know. I suppose it was the busyness was covering up for actually needing to properly look at myself. But even when I did become aware, even when I did quiet down enough, as it were, to become aware of what I needed to do, of what it required me to start to like myself a bit more, I actually didn't really know where to start because, you know, just reciting the affirmations doesn't really change anything because the unconscious mind just says, no, that's not true at all. So it's tough, isn't it?
It's very tough. And I think this is why you do have to reach out to someone, isn't it?
But yeah, absolutely. The connection is everything.
It is. Mm. It is. And it's being brave enough to just make that first step.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can do that, then the rest can start to unfold. And I do think, you know, that phrase, the teacher appears when the student is ready.
Yeah.
I think this really does happen. So I think if, you know, if someone listening is sort of starting to think, well, actually, yeah, this doesn't feel right. You know, I do feel out of sync and I know something's not right. Just reach out. Mm. And, you know, whether that is, you know, finding a coach, finding a mentor, joining a group, even, you know, finding your local councils provide therapists. You know, you can get even start on that route if you feel like it. And I know it's very easy to think, yes, but it's not that serious. But the rewards for just having that first conversation and just getting started. And then, of course, it's a lifelong journey, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. There's always lots more layers to unwrap.
Yes. We think we're done. We think we're cooked. And and then something comes up.
Yeah.
And it's embracing that.
Yeah. We've already spoken about connection, but I know one thing that you talk about is how working with a small group can be so powerful, a group of eight people. Tell us a bit more about that thinking.
Well, I know Lynn Twist wrote about the power of eight, and you know, it is the number where it's pivotal that we can actually gain real transformation. We can actually make a change. The interesting thing is that even just one other person you start to create that additional energy in between. And I think it's that. But a small group where, you know, everyone's energy is coming into it, you know, and for anybody listening, if that sounds too woo-woo, you know, we are, the whole world is energy. And so we need to embrace that. So bringing together a small group, you've got all of that. And there's something about common experience as well that is so deeply comforting. If you find the right place, you think, oh, so I'm not mad. And, you know, this is normal to feel like this, to feel scared and to feel different and to feel like a misfit.
So are you kind of talking about, you know, eight people gathered together who have a similar experience, you know, or doesn't it matter? Because I'm guessing that
matter.
Yeah, because I know I've heard of sort of how groups of eight people can just all be, you know, they might be completely disparate, they might even be online, but they are all focusing on an intention. One particular intention, and there's something quite magical about eight people sending the same energy.
There is. And whether it's sending the same energy to an external situation or whether it's setting an intention for everyone in the group. And I think when you regularly meet with a group and you have that intention set, then you know, you can really amp up the amount that you can do and, you know, the amount that can be achieved. And, you know, I think it was Gandhi who said, it might have been Nelson Mandela, who said something about, you know, if you think you're too small to have any impact, think about a mosquito.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So we can. And, you know, that if we gather together in small groups, and you know, it comes back to really quite tribal beginnings as well, doesn't it? Because, you know, in native settings, you know, the women would have gathered together in groups, and we've lost a lot of that sense of community. And bringing back that feminine connection, and you know, joining together to talk about challenges. And a lot of the women I work with are 45 plus. So, you know, embracing the fact that, yes, we are going through changes in our bodies.
Yeah.
Yes, we are potentially facing ageism in the workplace. Yes, we are potentially experiencing sexism because we're no longer nubile young things, and actually being able to have really frank and open conversations about that in a safe environment that a good group facilitator can provide, I think is tremendously empowering.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that, as I'm sure you can imagine, comes up a lot in my community is effects of the menopause, you know, and of course it's so very linked with alcohol as well. But I think it can all get so confusing. It's not really talked about enough in our society, is it? You know, even now, I mean, it's a little bit more out in the open, but still not as much as it can be. And it could be. And I think there is so much conflicting advice. It's so confusing. And, you know, the amount of podcast listeners will have heard me say 1,000 times, but, you know, that my huge frustration that, you know, women have told me countless times that they rock up to a GP, you know, and share some of their symptoms, feeling a bit down, you know, mood swings, anxious, you know, et cetera, might be a few physical things in there. And they're almost always sent away with antidepressants, possibly HRT, never once asked about how much they're drinking, by the way. So let's just all medicate on top of medication, shall we? You know, and then, and you know, rarely does that cocktail work. So they end up getting really quite depressed, quite confused. And you know, where do you turn to next? And really the answer is other other people who've been there, done it, got the t-shirt, you know, yep. so that you can share some experiences, right?
Absolutely. And the trouble is, you know, relationships get destroyed in that phase as well, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Because the women themselves don't know what's going on, and they don't recognize themselves, and their partners
yeah.
don't recognize them.
Whereas, so of course, what we should be doing is really honoring our aging. Yes. I never thought I'd hear myself say that, because, you know, yeah. till I stopped drinking, I was absolutely terrified of getting older. And I really mean that.
Really?
Really terrified of getting older. I couldn't see any advantages, like, at all. Everything yeah. about it was crap, you know, because alcohol kind of steals your joy, really. And it wasn't until I'd stopped and I finally sort of managed to find myself again that, you know, I'm no longer afraid of getting older. I'm grateful. Of course I am. You know, not yeah. everyone makes it, right?
Well, absolutely. I love it. I mean, I, you know, like the fact that now, you know, you refer to the fact that in 9 years I'll be 75. I would never have done that a few years ago, you know, but now I'm happy. I'm in the wise woman phase. Mm. And I value all the experiences I've had, you know, whether we label them good or whether we label them bad, all of that. Yeah, the experiences, the skills, the talents, everything that's happened, the relationships that have come and gone, and that makes us who we are. And yeah. that is what makes us valuable, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That,
you know, we need this wisdom in yeah. the community. We desperately need this wisdom in the community, and we need it from a feminine perspective, because otherwise the patriarchal way of, as you say, you go to the doctor and you get slapped onto medication, which isn't what you need. Mm. You need to be talking to people who've been there, done that, you know, experienced it.
That's, by what, the way, mostly the female doctors that do that in almost every case.
Tragic, isn't it? But they're not from a feminine place.
No, and they're probably almost certainly drinking themselves and probably yeah. haven't sorted out, you know, bless them. Yes. Anyways, so let's talk about your mission then. What is it you're trying to do when you say, you know, you want 10,000 women to shine their light? What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of darkness in the world, and
there certainly is at the moment. I mean, I think that's adding to, you know, everyone's kind of personal anxiety is we have another layer now, which yes. Makes it incredibly difficult. And interestingly enough, you know, we mentioned shame a couple of times. I think shame and guilt come into this as well, because sometimes we feel so helpless that we can't actually, you know, we feel such compassion, but we feel helpless that we can't do anything. It's terrible. It's a terrible kind of inertia.
Yes. And I think we do have to, and this might be a bit contentious, but I do think we have to reclaim those aspects of ourselves, because we do all have negative aspects to
us. Yes, absolutely.
The dark and the light.
Yeah,
we do. And we have to embrace the dark, and we have to learn to, you know, be comfortable with the fact that we have the dark in us as well as the light. And I think, you know, that is only when we can truly shine a light. And I think when we get to that point, then we're shining that light out, and the light, you know, I believe, you know, it just sparks lights, you know, wherever it goes, you know, it just can't help but do so. And so if we are truly being ourselves, and if we are truly in our light, which means we've had to do the deep work and we've had to embrace the dark and work out who we truly, truly are, you know, then we are shining our light, which will then inspire others to share their light. And, you know, so part of my mission is working with small groups of women, you know, initially working with women leaders, because obviously they can have a very major impact.
Yeah.
So, you know, my first group for Elevate is Elevate Opus. And, you know, we're going to be working in a small group of women and really looking at, you know, what our masterpieces bring into the world, both for now and for legacy. And, you know, that then building growing out to another group of eight, to another group of eight. And I just see, you know, if you think about an eight on its side, that's the infinity symbol. And I love that because it's that combination of it's eight and it's infinity. And yeah. So rolling out and rolling out and rolling out. So if we get to 10,000 women who inspire 10,000, you know, women between them, we're covering the whole world.
Yeah, exactly. That's your ripple effect right there. Exactly. So, yeah, I love your title, Elevate, E-L-L-E-V, number eight, your Elevate movement. It's fantastic. So if people want to be sort of involved or connected in some way, how can they do that? How can they find more about what you do?
The best way at the moment is to join the Facebook group, which is still called Women at the Top Global. So it's Women at the Top with Karen Kennaby. You can find it easily on Facebook.
Can you join that even if you're not a business owner?
You can indeed. You can indeed. And so, yeah, I mean, we've got about 1,000 people in there and from a whole range of different backgrounds. And that's where I'm going to be starting sharing more about Elevate. Mm. And it will be changing name to Elevate. Mm. So
brilliant.
So that's fantastic. That's the best bet.
Lovely. Anything else you'd like to add, Karen, that, you know, anything else you'd just like to share for anyone thinking, oh, this sounds kind of exciting. I can start to kind of get a feel that I want to find my light. You know, I want to be able to share it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, focus on things that make you happy.
Yeah.
Watching the news and I stop listening to the news and I stop reading the news. And, you know, I find that think what I need to hear, I will hear, you know, at a high level. But getting bogged down by everything that's going on and your energy being drawn down constantly actually isn't helping. You know, we need to keep light. And it's not minimizing what's going on anywhere, you know, with all the things that are happening. It's not minimizing it, but it's one of the ways that we can actually help by, you know, keeping up, because otherwise, you know, we are just bringing down our energy, the energy of those around us. And so the problem is becoming even more exacerbated.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that it can feel hard sometimes. And I know that, you know, someone's listening and they're, you know, things are really not good for them personally right now. And then they've got layered on everything else. And then there's the constant news coming at them and everything feels dark and miserable. Yeah. It's very, very tough. But actually, you know, if you can do one small thing that just raises your vibration, you know, it makes a difference. And with that little bit of light and energy, you can do the next thing. You
know? Yes. And I think music very often is a nice, easy access.
Yeah.
Point.
Yeah.
Put on some music that you love, you know, whatever genre. If you feel like dancing to it,
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I love that tip. We had a fabulous shaman do a session for us in the Soberman Club, Yakov Darling Khan, and he did a movement medicine session. And he said exactly that, you know, if you're feeling anxious or stressed or everything's just too much, put on a track. He suggests that you put on something you used to rock out to when you were a teenager. any track, just put a track on and just move, you know.
Yes.
Because sometimes we have to actually get out of our head, don't we, and just drop back into the body and let the body take it, you know.
Yeah. Got to shake it all out.
Yeah. Another interesting thing, you know, on that note, we were doing a meditation with our sober club group, and we were talking about what we're focusing on. And one woman said her intention, she decided that she was going to focus just on smiling more. And I thought, wow, how perfect is that actually? How perfect is that? If you just choose to smile and you focus on smiling and the ripple effect that has on everyone else, you know, it's amazing.
It is.
Everyone's day changes if, you know, somebody just gives you a smile rather than being grumpy, don't they?
Oh, they do. They do. And I think, you know, since we all start our day in the bathroom, I think another lovely one is putting a post-it note in your bathroom cabinet or on your bathroom mirror saying, I love you.
Yeah.
So that when you're looking at yourself straight away, you're saying, I love you.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Really look into your eyes. And there's no better way to start the day than that.
Yeah. Brilliant. Karen, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We'll put those that link in the show notes, and lots of luck with your challenge. I'm sure you'll make
it.
You'll inspire at least 10,000 women, and hopefully more, to shine their light. And you know, anyone can start now, right? Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Men as well, of course. We need of the course. Men's light.
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you, Karen. So if you want to check out the work that Karen's doing, just have a look at the show notes. Don't forget all of those events that I've mentioned. The Family Constellations is coming up next. That's on Sunday, 27th of March in Hertfordshire. Just drop me a message if you just want to ask any questions. It's ridiculously hard to describe what it is. but I'm very happy to chat to you. So just send me a message. You can always find me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. I've also mentioned a couple of times that I'm offering sober coach training. I think our next cohort is pretty much full. It's so amazing to find out just how many people really want to do this work, because they can see the need for this. They can absolutely see that it's so important that we know about how to work with people who are drinking more than they want to, but they're not at rock bottom, but it is affecting their life. And you know, when I think back all those years ago, I had no idea that there was a whole world out there, a whole community, that there were ways to do this, that there was great nutrition that could support my recovery and my brain chemistry, that there was, you know, just a whole bunch of tools that I could put in my sober self-care toolkit. You know, I just didn't know any of this. And we really want the situation now where there are many more people that can signpost those people who are still in that situation. Of course, there are literally millions. We can signpost them and we can support them. So you don't have to already be a coach or a practitioner. Obviously, if you are, it adds wonderfully to your toolkit. But if you're new to it, it could also be possible because of the way the training is kind of organized. There's kind of business training and PR and all of that stuff included as well. But anyways, we will probably set a new date for June the 11th. So if you are interested, then drop me a message and let's have a conversation if that's something you're interested in. Or again, go to thesoberclub.com and click on Become a Coach. So stay well, and above everything, just find a way to stay grounded and calm. And obviously, if you're in the early stages of ditching the booze, then this is the most important thing you will ever do for your health and well-being. Don't let anyone tell you any different. You know, don't get confused into thinking, oh, you know what, I think I might just, change my diet first. I might just do something else first. No, you've got to do the sobriety piece first. It's mega important, and it will absolutely change your life. I think you probably heard me say that a few times. Always reach out if you're struggling. It's so important to tell somebody. So important. You can tell me if you want to. Don't necessarily have long conversations with your partners and friends and family, because they may not have been there, done it, got the t-shirt. And the last thing you need is for them to say, oh yeah, well done you. Well, you've done a few days now. Now you can just have one. You need to connect with like-minded people. People who've been through it and they know exactly what it feels like when you don't have an off switch. And you're trying to do this. So absolutely get yourself connected. Tell somebody you're doing this. Always reach out for help. There's so much help available, so much out there now. There really is. So there's absolutely no need to suffer in silence. And obviously there's tons of amazing quitlet as well. I should just give a little plug for my book, as it was World Book Day the other day. Happy, Healthy, Sober is now out as an audiobook. Ditch the booze and take control of your life. That's the strap line. Foreword by Denise Welsh. And it's not just me. So if you're thinking, my goodness, I hear enough of her on the podcast. There are loads of amazing contributions in the book. I feel really blessed that, just like this podcast where I get great guests, I was able to get some amazing people to write sections for the book. So there are contributions written by leading experts in the book, including William Porter, Dr. Gemma Newman, the plant power doctor, Eric Sigmund, Jolene Park did a piece on grey area drinking. Starka Shara did a piece on amazing nutrition, fruits and plant-based stuff. And there's Joe and Andy from Beyond Training did a whole piece on NLP. There's a piece on meditation by Neil Shah from the Stress Management Society. Just on and on and on. There's a whole bunch of amazing stuff, lifestyle stuff in the book written by other experts. So if you haven't got your copy yet, please grab a copy. And obviously, if you've already read it, please leave me a nice review. That makes a massive difference. It's so appreciated. I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.